Mark chapter number 15. Simple message I'd like to bring to you today, and as we wind down 2021. But I feel like the Lord has been really good to us, and He's really blessed us, and sometimes worked us over with the Word. And I want to, Lord willing, we'll see where He goes with this, but end on a note of relaxation here. But in Mark chapter number 15, we're going to look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and some things leading up to it. And we'll begin in verse number 1. It says, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried Him away and delivered Him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do with him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with the reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, whatever man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. First thing I want to see in verse number one, I don't know whether to call it the aggravation, the association, the conglomeration, but we see a group of folks. It says, and straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. They got together, they gathered together, not to decide his guilt or innocence. That had already been decided. They decided he was guilty because they didn't like him. They didn't like what he stood for. They didn't like what he made them feel like. And they decided they were going to get rid of him. And that's what they gathered together for, and that's about what an association's worth, amen? The conglomeration, the gathering of the religious leaders, and they decided to get rid of Jesus Christ. Wanting to get rid of the Word of God. And then we see the investigation in 2 through 5. And Pilate asked him, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. Pilate, looking into their accusations. Now you got to remember, Pilate was a leader. And God gave leaders, whether they were on the right side or not, God gives leaders some wisdom. And Pilate had the wisdom, the ability to find the truth. And Pilate knew the truth. Pilate, if you'll remember, washed his hands of the situation in the end. But he investigated, and Pilate, looking at the accusations and looking at the accused, we see the determination in 6 through 14. He goes down through and he is wanting to release Jesus Christ instead of Barabbas. And the religious leaders, they stir up the people and they ask for the release of Barabbas, a murderer, instead of the innocent man. So the determination was he found no fault in Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? The only man that ever walked the face of this earth where you could not find fault, and he died the most cruel and inhumane death. And what made it even more cruel and inhumane is he was God himself, the Creator, that his creation would put him on that cross and put him through what he went through. He did it for you. He did it for me. He died for the world. The association, the investigation, the determination. In verse number 15, what we see here is a weak leader. It says, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. The pacification. Pilate was willing to crucify an innocent man to appease the people. And that's what happened in this world. That's what happened in this country, spiritually speaking, is we had leaders that were willing to appease the people against Christ and run Christ out of some things. We've had leaders in this world, not just in the United States, but in other parts of the world, that were willing to, due to their political affiliation or due to their political desires, to what was more expedient for them financially or in power-wise, they were willing to appease the people by getting rid of the Word of God, getting rid of Jesus Christ. I think back on the founding of this great nation, no matter what you believe about the men and women that come over here and fought for the freedoms that we have today, since then, you have to believe that this country was founded on the Word of God and founded by people, whether they were lost or saved, that believed the book. And there were leaders that were willing to die for the truth. And I believe some of them were even lost. But they knew the truth, and they knew the truth was worth living for and dying for. And we've had leaders raised up that through hook or crook, they got in office and they have tried to appease the people that were lining their pockets by running off Jesus Christ. Oh, we can't have the Ten Commandments here. We can't have the Bible there. We can't say Merry Christmas. Remember when that came along here in 2009? I'm going to be careful what I say, but we had a president in there that didn't want to say Merry Christmas anymore because he didn't like that word Christ. We've had leaders that want to appease people instead of truth. And that's what we see here is the pacification. To pacify the people that did not want Jesus Christ in their life, Pilate delivers him to be crucified. Then in 16 through 20, it says, "And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him." We see the indignation. They mocked, they ridiculed, they smote, and they spit upon the sinless Son of God. Trodden under the feet of man. They put the purple on him, which was rightfully his. They mock him because he is king. Eternally he will be. And they mock him and they spit on God himself. Oh, what a terrible thing. The indignation for the creature to rise up against the Creator and to spit on the Creator and to ridicule the Creator. And yet it happens every day. Spiritually speaking, people spit on Jesus Christ. People spit on the Word of God. People ridicule the truth. They ridicule creation as it is in Genesis 1:1. And they want to try to talk it away and reason it away. And they build up all these fables because that's what people want. They don't want the truth. They want fables. And they build up all these stories, these fairy tales about how everything come from nothing. But it just can't be Genesis 1:1. Anything but Genesis 1:1. The indignation. 34 through 37, he goes to Calvary. He willingly lets them take him. He marched to Calvary from the birth. They didn't drag him in and murder him. He went willingly to that cross. It says, "In the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, 'Behold, he calleth Elias.'" You know what there was? There were some people that knew some Bible. They weren't rightly divided and they were goofed up on it. They knew Elias had to come before the Creator, before Jesus Christ, the Messiah. "And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, 'Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.' And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." We see the association, the investigation, the determination, the pacification, the indignation. Praise God, we see the propitiation. Amen. The substitution. Amen. Oh man, I want to end 2021 thinking about that propitiation. Amen. He suffered for our sins. He was separated from the Father for our sins. He was suspended between heaven and earth for our sins. He was a substitution for our sins. Not of bulls and goats. And 1 Peter says it wasn't about the silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot, purchased with God's own blood on Calvary. But I want to focus for just a few minutes on verse 38. It says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." The association, the investigation, the determination, the pacification, the indignation, the propitiation, and here we see the punctuation. This is the exclamation point of the crucifixion. This explains what God did on Calvary. This, in a nutshell, defines what He has done for us. And that veil, 50, 60 foot tall, whatever it was, it rent in twain from top to bottom. So no man could get the credit for ripping that. It wasn't about, you know, the priests got together and, you know, maybe the disciples got together and they pulled on the bottom and they started a little cut and they ripped that thing. God Himself, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, He Himself, He grabbed a hold of that veil somehow. I don't know exactly how He did it, but He ripped it from top to bottom. God instituted that veil and God rent that veil. He put that veil there for a reason. He put that veil there because under the law, the Old Testament priesthood, that high priest, the only one that could enter in the most holy of holy places, and he could do it once a year, and he had to be right. He had to be holy on this side of the veil. They tied that rope around his leg. He had bells about his garments, and he walked inside that veil, and if those bells quit jingling, they knew after a certain amount of time to drag his carcass out because he wasn't clean enough to stand before the Holy of Holies. God instituted that. And when he ripped that veil, when he rent that veil because it was finished. All the Old Testament law, everything that had to do with man's works, it was all gone. It wasn't abolished, it was fulfilled because Jesus Christ fulfilled every single detail on Calvary. And he rent that veil. And I heard a preacher say this just a while back, a preacher, a good man, heard him say, I bet the Pharisees were out there sewing that thing together the next day. And I got to thinking about that, and that's what they've been doing for years. That's what Christianity's been doing for years. You know what they've been doing? They've been putting that veil back together, pretending like they had to do something to get to God. And the truth is, everything that man has to do to be reconnected, to get back with God, has been paid on Calvary. We don't need that veil. That veil's gone. I want to be clean to please Him. But I'm clean through the blood of Jesus Christ for heaven. That veil's gone. The religious leaders, if you will, today, they keep re-sewing that veil. Oh, we'll preach the Word. You know what the Word does? The Word rents that veil. It says, no, that veil's not needed anymore. But they'll reject the truth and they just sew that thing back up. And they say, you got to go through this program. You got to go through this tradition. You got to be a part of this church. You got to be a part of that. You got to do all these things, and maybe you can get to the other side of that veil, when the truth is, it is finished. Jesus paid it all. We sing about it. Nothing but the blood. Walk and wash away my sins. It's not about the Old Testament priesthood. It's about our high priest, and he died on Calvary, and he rose up through the air, and he rent that veil, and he went to hell for your sins, dropped your sin debt off, preached and led captivity captive, walked this earth, and rose again to heaven, and he's on the right hand of God the Father now waiting to come back, and he ain't looking for no veil, amen. He's looking for those that have already made it past the veil because it's been rent and they went through the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, what a year we've had. I'll be honest with you, that word's convicting. That thing works me over. But man, I'm glad that veil's gone. I can serve him now because I love him. There's a whole bunch of people out there that want to serve him because they think they're special. And they're going to be good enough to get to heaven. There's a whole bunch of religious baloney out there, and religious systems, different religious systems, and you know, we'll talk about the great whore and get all that on that, and we'll kick Rome and we'll kick that. We'll kick. But any system that says, boy, I can be good enough to get to God, is a false religion. It's a man-made mess where somebody just decided to sew that veil back together. Jesus Christ says it is finished. The exclamation point on Calvary was in that veil was rent. And the way it was rent. And by who it was rent. Amen. I don't know what else to say. Praise God. The veil's gone. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven because of Pope John Hoodaddy or Pope anybody else or because of the Church of Christ dunked me underwater. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because the Pentecostals got this or got that. I'm not going to heaven because of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not going to heaven because of the Muslims. I'm not going to heaven because of the Methodists. I'm not going to heaven because of whatever group you think. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
I couldn't reach the top of that veil. But he did. He did. People did everything they can. They're still trying to get rid of Jesus Christ, but they'll never do it. They'll never do it. And the people that are trying to get to the other side of that veil because of their merits, veil's gone. There's only one way. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ.